Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. And I know we've covered this particular verse in the context of other verses, but in itself it really needs to be preached. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Samuel says to Israel, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Now notice what he said. "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Now they had asked him to pray. They were scared. They saw what God did to their wheat harvest, and they said, out of the fear of God, in verse 19, "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God." That's what they said. And so he said, "I'm not going to sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Today what I'd like to do is talk with you about intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Now, honestly, there's quite a long sermon that can be preached on this subject. There's a lot to it. And I dare say that when I give you some things from the Bible that will show you about intercessory prayer, a couple of things are going to happen. First of all, I'm going to preach myself under conviction, which a preacher should never do, because I don't think, in spite of what I'm going to tell you, I don't think that I pray enough for others. And I don't say that out of false humility. I say it out of a grave conviction. This is a very difficult message to preach. But I also say that as a comfort to you, because I believe if you hear this, you may think two things. One, you may think, "Man, I don't pray nearly enough for other people." That's good. But number two, you may also think, "I'll never be able to pray like that preacher prays." And may I say to you, whatever problems you face in being able to pray for others, I face. And I don't want you to think that the person who's bringing this message to you is bringing it because the example of his prayer life is so good that he feels safe in bringing it to you and making you feel guilty for not praying for others more than you do. That's not what's going on here. We're talking to each other. I could be preaching this message to a mirror and looking at myself, and it would be worth preaching. We really need to pray more for others. We really do. Now listen, we're going to go through and look at some things in the Scripture. If we looked at every passage in here that dealt with intercessory prayer, I dare say we would be preaching on the subject for days. There is a lot in the Bible on intercessory prayer. Let me explain to you very simply what intercessory prayer is, because you may be thinking in your mind, "This man keeps using that word. I have no idea what he's talking about." Intercessory prayer, very simply, is you praying for somebody else. That's all. That's all it is. You are interceding. You see, intercede, to go between and represent, to intercede on the behalf of somebody else, to plea for them. That's what a prayer is. You're simply pleading the Lord, something that you need, something that you desire, something that you want Him to hear from your voice. And intercessory prayer just basically says, "I'm going to pray with the same earnestness as if I were praying for my own needs, but I'm going to pray not for me, but for you." That's all it is. And notice something. As we get into this message, please notice Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is very, very encouraging in the area of intercessory prayer, because we see that the Godhead is involved in this type of prayer. That's right. In Romans chapter 8 In verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now, just for clarification, there are those who have probably taught you about a private prayer language involving tongues, and they will say to you things like, "The devil can't understand your prayer language when you pray in tongues." Well, oddly enough, you can't either. And so it's not doing anybody any good. It may feel good, and like a Catholic praying to Mary or praying on a rosary, you may be thinking that you're getting something good done out of it, because you can say, "Hey, look, this happened here and that happened here, and I was in my prayer closet with a bunch of gibberish, and God must have got something out of it, and I can say this deal." But you know what? You can't even specifically make that testimony, because you don't know what you asked for. And it may very well be that the Lord has blessed you with that thing that you see and attribute to your prayer life, but please understand something. And here's why I say it. Look in verse 26 again. When the Spirit of God is interceding on your behalf, He does so, watch it very carefully, look at the Scriptures. He does it with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you understand? Please understand that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, honestly, this is not a message on tongues, but there are people that get messed up here. Paul said, "When I pray, I am going to pray with my understanding. And when I sing, I am going to sing with my understanding." He said, "I'm not going to pray in a language that I don't understand." 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 15. "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So he's telling you, I'm not going to use some sort of a private prayer language or some sort of a tongue thing in order to approach the throne. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to know what I'm praying about. I mean, how do you know that maybe there's not an evil spirit in there and using your voice to say something that you really don't want or don't want said? There was an evil spirit in a woman with a spirit of divination, and she was saying the right things about Paul and Silas when they were preaching. And he had to cast that spirit out of there. She was saying the right thing. Listen, Peter was the preacher that preached in Acts chapter 2 when 3,000 souls got saved. He opened his mouth and gave a revelation of God in Matthew 16. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and opened his mouth again in rebuke of the Lord Jesus Christ about his upcoming crucifixion. And the Lord spoke to Peter and addressed the devil in him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Spoke right out of the preacher's mouth. You got to be careful about this business with intercession. You're not going to intercede successfully with an unknown tongue. The Spirit intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered, and Paul prayed with understanding. Now notice, not only is it the Spirit of God that prays, but it's also Jesus that prays and intercedes. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 34. What great comfort to know the Godhead is involved in praying for us. Who is he that condemneth? Romans 8, 34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's a tremendous thing. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us. So intercessory prayer must be a very, very important thing if two members of the Godhead are involved in it. And indeed, it is a very important thing. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And notice that we have specific instructions to pray for others. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Look at verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, watch it, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, you know what's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? You praying for others. You know what's acceptable in the sight of God? Yeah. It's when I pray for others. Why would we pray for kings and for all that are in authority? It's an amazing thing how many Christians are very critical of the President of the United States, no matter who he is. You ever notice that? Very critical. And the Lord said, you know what you need to be doing for these guys? You need to be praying for them. Why? So that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You say, well, I wouldn't be a dishonest as a Christian. Well, maybe things hadn't gotten disquieted and riotous and tumultuous enough for you. But I know back there in the Old Testament, Pharaoh told the midwives to kill the baby boys that were born to the Hebrew women, and they lied to the king, and God blessed them and gave them houses. They lied and said, we can't kill these babies because they're already born by the time we get there. The Hebrew women are lively, and so those babies are already here. We can't kill them. That was a lie. You say, God honored that? There comes a time when people in authority are so wicked that in order for you to be able to continue on with what you have to do, you may have to do what they did. You're not living in that time right now, I'll tell you. So you better keep praying, like he said. Now, what else are we going to do? Is that all we're going to do is just pray for kings and for all that are in authority? No, he said that intercession be made for all men. For all men. Well, the Spirit of God does it, and Jesus does it, and you and I must do it. And Samuel said here in our text, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Now, let me tell you something. That is a high price tag on this. Listen, you say, what do we pray for? Well, pray for those that are in authority. Pray for all men. You can pray for the lost. Jesus does in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the one we read about Jesus Christ. Go back there and notice who he's praying for in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Those are the ones that come unto God by him. He prays for them. He prays for them. So listen, pray for the lost. That's right. Pray for the lost. Do you not know anybody that's lost that needs Jesus Christ? I'm sure you do. And you know what you're going to realize is that God hears your prayers and works out circumstances in their lives whereby the work of the Holy Spirit is continued favorably for them to come to Christ. You say, well, how does that work if they're the one with a free will? Listen, God keeps bringing the witness to the lost for whom Christians intercede. They have radio, which is what we're doing right now. They have television. They have neighbors. They have friends. They have acquaintances. They have business associates. They have literature. They have a Bible. All of these things can bear witness to a lost soul about his need or her need of receiving Jesus Christ. That's right. You pray for the lost, and many times when I'm praying for lost people in our church to get saved, I'm praying that God will send them a confirming witness. In other words, I know that the people here that have asked for prayer have already witnessed or been witnessing to the individual. And I pray and I say, Lord, send a confirming witness. In other words, send them somebody else who will witness the same as this person who's asked prayer for the individual, so that they will know, hey, this person that's been witnessing to me is not alone in his opinion or her opinion of Jesus Christ. I've watched that happen over and over again, where God has sent a confirming witness, and by sending the confirming witness, actually succeeded in leading that soul to Jesus Christ out of the mouth of two or three witnesses every word established. I've seen a man that we prayed for read a Bible, and God opened that Bible to him as if he were a Bible scholar. I'm telling you, he saw his personal need of Jesus Christ in reading that scripture, and he got saved by Bible reading. So I've seen that happen on two occasions that come to mind right now, and it was the scriptures of God that brought him to Christ. I know of many others, but I mean two specific ones that I was definitely involved with where God really used the scriptures to bring them to Christ. You can pray for the lost. George Mueller prayed for his lost friends. He was dead before one of them got saved, actually before two of them got saved. And he'd prayed for some of these, I think, if I remember the number correctly, decades. Let me just give you that, because I'm having to approximate the number. I was going to say 60, but decades, and God brought them to Christ. I know a young lady who was handicapped, and she could not attend an evangelistic meeting. I mean, in other words, she was bedridden. And when she heard a certain preacher was coming to town to preach, she would inquire every evening when her mother would come home from the meeting how the meeting went, who got saved, was God doing anything. Well, she passed away during this protracted meeting. It was a meeting that had gone on for like 3 weeks. She passed away before the meeting concluded. And while they were changing the sheets on her bed, they discovered under her pillow a list of names, and on some of those names had been scratched out of the list. In other words, they'd been lined through. And those were the names of people that had gotten saved in that evangelistic meeting. You know what she was doing? She was praying specifically by name for certain people to get saved. And as they were getting saved, she was scratching them off the list like that. There were still names on the list of people who weren't saved. And when they found out what she was doing, you see, more people got saved. You can intercede for the lost. I'll give you one more illustration. I feel like I should just camp out here. I'll give you one more illustration. I know that on Friday nights many years ago in a mission church, once a month the men would get together. There were about a dozen of us, and we'd have an all-night prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, we'd pray for the lost. Another church in town found out what we were doing and got excited about it, and we told them, listen, just make a list of names on a chalkboard, and every time you get together on that Friday night meeting, pray for those lost men or women. In addition to that, we were getting together every Saturday morning and praying, and there was just a handful down there, you know, wasn't any big deal, 3, 4, 5 guys, whatever it was, and they got excited about that in the other church, and they started praying, and one day they came to open up the church. Nobody on that list had been saved yet. They came to open up the church on that Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. And they turned around and looked out there on the street. Walking in front of the church was one of the men for whom they'd been praying, who's out there close to the top of the list. And so somebody got an idea and said, come on, let's invite him in. They were really unsure what to say to him. I mean, they were nervous, okay, that is, about witnessing to him. They invited him in, and the first thing they did is they took him up to that chalkboard and they said, look right there. And that fellow saw his name on that list. He said, what's that? Why is my name on that list? And they said, we've been meeting up here for months, every Saturday morning, praying for the names of people on this list. We've been praying for you that you would trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That broke that man's heart. He sat down. They got a Bible, showed him how to be saved, and that fellow got saved right there in that Saturday morning prayer meeting. You know what that was the result of? Intercessory prayer, like Jesus praying for the lost. That's what you can do. I'll tell you something else you can pray for. I can see already I'm going to run out of time before we even get close to everything you can accomplish with intercessory prayer, because it's such an important aspect of your Christian life. Not only can you pray for the lost, like Jesus does, and not only can you pray for peace and godliness and honesty, okay, in your lifetime by praying for those that are in positions of authority, okay, but also you can pray for laborers. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, 37, and 38. We'll get to 38. That's the verse we want, but watch it. Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So what do you do about that? Verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's what you pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That ought to be a constant prayer for you and a constant prayer for me. Why? Because the harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers truly are few. Listen, we're in our missions conference. And there are exciting things happening all over the world. But do you know that there are opportunities to still go to fields where the most of the people do not know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the way that you do, that you're saved. And then those that have gotten saved have nobody to teach them and nobody to preach to them. And you know what? You have more services going on in your church than you can attend. And they have none. You say, well, I don't want to do anything about that. Are you sure you don't want to do anything about that? The Lord does. He gave us specific instruction and said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You can pray that prayer. You say, well, I'm afraid to. He may call me. Well, if he does, he'll equip you. If he does, he'll pay the price. If he does, he'll reward you. If he does, it'll be the most exciting thing that ever happened to you in your life. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You say, where might that be? I don't know. Corpus Christi, Texas. How about that? How about all these outlying areas? How about all these places within the sound of my voice where there are still more lost people than there are saved people? How about anywhere else in the world? Korea, China, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, Russia, Africa, Mexico. Say, I don't want to go to Mexico. So many problems down there. We've got missionaries down there. Say, well, yeah, well, one of the families was killed, and they would rather have been there and died doing what they were doing than be here in the States doing what you're doing. That's why they were down there, and they knew what the cost was, and they knew what the risks were. I'll tell you what, Stephen in the book of Acts was stoned, and he was in the middle of God's will under that pile of rocks. And I guarantee you, when you see Stephen in heaven, he'll tell you, I'd rather have been there than sitting down watching a football game. That's right. Listen, you have to pray for laborers. He said, but if I start praying for laborers, God may put me to work in the field. Hey, you're already supposed to be working in the field. He comes to us these days like he did in Matthew chapter 20. He said, why stand you here all the day idle? Hour after hour after hour, Christians letting people go to hell all around them because they won't labor in the Lord's harvest. You can pray that. And I'll tell you something else. You can pray for your preacher. That's right. You can pray for your preacher. Paul was a preacher, and he said to the church in Ephesus, you need to put on the whole armor of God, and then after you get that thing on, you need to pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He's telling them to pray for each other. 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what he's telling them to do? Pray for me. Paul, the great apostle, is telling the Ephesians, do me a favor, pray for me. What are we to pray? Pray that I will open my mouth boldly. What's he telling you? There are opportunities to open my mouth, sometimes not so boldly. Every time he opened his mouth boldly, he got whipped, stoned, beaten, or thrown in prison on top of all the other perils that he suffered. It would cause a man to want to kind of soften his voice a little bit and hope to be able to get along with the crowd, maybe bring in the dancing girls and the pom-poms and the music, ease up the deal a little bit, take the edge off. But he didn't do that. He said, I'm not going to compromise what God's given me. I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm praying that you'll give me, that you'll pray for me, that God will give me boldness so that I can preach this gospel, the mystery of this gospel, the way that I was called to preach it. You need to pray for that. He also said to the Philippians, he said, when you're praying for me, he said, I want you to pray for my salvation. I mean, and he's not talking about getting saved. He's talking about getting out of prison. He says in Philippians 1:19, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You ought to pray for your pastor's safety. That's right. Safety and protection, liberty. Keep on preaching the gospel. I see we're going to turn this into a second message. There's way too much to cover here, but notice what we've seen so far. The Spirit of God intercedes, therefore you should. Jesus Christ intercedes, and therefore you should. We are commanded to intercede, and therefore you should. And you should pray for the lost. You should pray for the men that are in authority. You ought to pray for your preacher. You ought to pray for laborers to enter into the Lord's harvest. You know what? You'll be on good, holy ground if you'll just do what the Lord's doing and what He asked you to do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.